Senator Wires, I would suspect if that legislation is enacted, the agencies that were interested would have to report to the emergency board for expenditure limitation in order to spend, you know, to then go to the Attorney General's office and hire more, they would ask for the limit or the change in their budget to hire personnel. I don't know that it would impact this budget substantially.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Roberts.
If such a move were made, it would certainly reduce the need for the expenditure limitations in this budget. I think you'll note here that up to $64 million in this budget, essentially about $57 million of it is for all intents and purposes general fund money, because it is direct general fund or it is other funds, all of which come out of other budgets. So there is a considerable amount of direct or indirect general fund money in this budget. So we're spending, as it is, roughly $57 million for legal expenses in this budget. So that there might have an impact upon this budget, a reduction in if those agencies got some of their legal work done outside of the Justice Department. I don't know.
Are there additional comments or discussion, Representative Mason?
Yeah, the declaration of possible conflict of interest. Wife is employed.
Parks Commission. Other comments, questions? Let's clarify the question, because I have the feeling we're about to leave ourselves with a misimpression. And would you clarify the question as to we're offering? Go ahead, Mr. Berg.
Mr. Chairman and members, as you pass the budget for the Department of Justice, you're allowing that agency to charge other agencies which it provides services to, legal services to, and receive the money in under that expenditure limitation. If for some reason there was a change in the fundamental way in which legal services are obtained by state agencies, the host agency, Department of Justice, simply wouldn't be able to charge the money, mm-hmm. and it would be a hollow expenditure limitation. Mm-hmm. If the superintendent of public instruction is allowed to hire a staff attorney because of a legislative change, then probably the monies in the Department of Education budget on the line item S&S for Attorney General services would be converted to personal services, but it wouldn't really affect the Department of Justice budget as you'd approve it. 2 years from now, you'd have an expenditure level in justice that would show that kind of decline, and that's when you'd re-budget, I think.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know whether it's relevant, but I noticed in the paper this morning that the Attorney General's office has now indicated they would like to participate in the teacher's strike in Eugene. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder about some of these
runway expenses.
I'm not aware of the intentions there, and I would like not to encumber this budget with that question. Further discussion? If not, would you call the roll on the motion on the Department of Justice?
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Katz.
Aye.
Speaker Katz.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trove.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Karens.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. Next is the budget for the Commission on Indian Services, Senate Bill 5544, Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5544 is the budget on the Commission on Indian Services. The commission exists to compile information on services to Native Americans, to assess state programs and services, and make improvement recommendations to the legislature. The commission also serves in the forum in which Indian problems and solutions may be considered for resolution. The recommended budget continues existing staff with the reclassification of committee assistant positions. Your subcommittee made adjustments within the personal services for the PERS and the unemployment assessment. Another fund expenditure limitation increase was approved permit the commission to co-sponsor a national conference with the state of Washington. In addition, $1,000 was added to the budget to permit commission members to attend the conference. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would recommend that we send Senate Bill 5544 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Discussion? Dot, would you call the roll first?
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Speaker Katz.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trobe.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Herons.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carries. The final budget is the Commission on Judicial Fitness, Senator Karen's 5550 Senate Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee recommend a budget in the amount of $99,730, which is $16,000 below the amount recommended by the Chief Justice. The committee made two important changes, however. First, it approved as a separate line item $25,000 for payment of investigator and attorney costs associated with disciplinary proceedings. These monies had previously appropriated to the emergency board for allocation on an as-needed basis, so you won't see this commission coming back hat in hand for to pay the attorneys. Second, the committee approved increasing the commission staff from 0.25 FTE to 0.50 FTE. The committee made a series of changes to the commission's base budget. Reduced secretarial support services by $9,972, reflecting the shift contract help, and reduced services and supplies $6,936 from the amount requested. The committee also approved $9,454 for current biennium, which represents the agency's best estimate of remaining disciplinary proceedings costs for which billings will be received from attorneys and investigators during the remainder of this biennium. Got to move the adoption of the budget.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Not, if you call the roll.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Speaker Katz.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trobe.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Karen.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Next item on the agenda are two bills that have been recorded out of the subcommittee. The first is House Bill 2036, Senator Wires on licensed agents.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2036, current statute allows licensed agents to charge a 50-cent handling fee for the issuance of a hunting or fishing license, tag, or permit. However, the Department of Fish and Wildlife has not been able to charge the same fee for sales out of the department offices. House Bill 2036 allows the charge, which produces an estimated $37,500 of revenue for the department during the 87-89 biennium. The bill also requires the Fish and Wildlife Commission to adopt a rule which describes when a licensed agent must deposit their sales receipts. The current remittance schedule is such that interest earnings are accrued to agents and not to the state. The committee deleted Section 3 from the bill, which would have allowed interest earnings to accrue to the Fish and Wildlife Fund rather than to the general fund. Heard that idea before this. This had the potential of reducing general fund revenues during the 87-89 biennium by approximately $204,000. We anticipated this funds in the budget, so I urge your aye vote.
Questions? Discussion? Appreciate the work of the committee on this particular item and reaffirming the fact that the interest earned on funds accrue to the general fund.
Thank you.
Will you call the roll on the motion?
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Speaker Katz.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trobe.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Karen.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. The final bill is House Bill 2147 relating to the State Forestry Department. Senator Wires.
I apologize for how dry this is going to be, but here we go. ORS 530.059 specifies that surety bonds, cash deposits, or negotiable securities are the only forms of security acceptable for performance of timber sales contracts.
House Bill 2147 is amended to add assignment of surety, irrevocable letters of credit, and other securities deemed acceptable by the state forester to this list. Prospective purchasers are finding it difficult to post the cash deposits or obtain the surety bonds. However, many can obtain letters of credit. Letters of credit are currently allowed by the U.S. Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, and Washington Department of Natural Resources for their timber sale surety. The department is concerned that without the changes in the bill, potential purchasers will stop bidding on sales and the reduced competition will reduce prices and will lose money on our timber sale. The committee amended the bill to delete sections 1 and 2. These related to the creation of the Forestry Department Fund as a trust fund. As a trust fund, interest earned would have accrued to the trust itself rather than the general fund. This would have reduced general fund revenues during the 87-89 biennium by approximately $1,273,000. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Questions? Would you call the roll, Bert?
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Speaker Katz. Representative Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trow.
Aye.
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 Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Karens.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. That completes our agenda. Are there announcements that anyone has to make?
Yes, just one quick one, just to reaffirm for those who weren't in this morning's meeting. The chairs of the subcommittee, if they will take the time to contact your analyst to make sure that you have a list of bills that are related to budgets, whether it be House or Senate and where they're at, if there's any input that you can make with the chairs of those substantive committees on relaying a message that we need to have those set on a priority so that we can finish up these budgets, we'd appreciate it.
Fiscal analyst. Mr. Co-Chair, transportation regulation will meet after this.
Okay, the subcommittees that are meeting are transportation and
economic development, yeah. Natural resources on the fair budget.
Yeah. Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you. Well, that was great.
Ways and Means Full Committee, Friday, May 8th, 1987, Hearing Room F. Representative Gilmore presiding.
Funding of the three-member commission, operational costs of ports of entry constructed and opened during 85-87, continuation of a federal motor carrier safety program, two positions to handle motor carrier hazardous material trip permits and insurance filings, and acquisition of a data processing online system. Although the data processing system costs $1.6 million, it will produce net additional benefits of $7.5 million over 6 years. The majority of the benefits are enhanced revenue collections achieved by automated auditing functions. The budget anticipates receipt of federal rail safety funds to finance 50% of the track and equipment inspection program. Recent experience indicates that this level of federal funding is not likely to be maintained. Therefore, passage of Senate Bill 67 is necessary to continue the current level of state programs. Although Senate Bill 67 allows a half-mil increase in the railroad assessment, the PUC budget report contains the committee's understanding that only a quarter-mil of the increase will be levied in 87-88, and that the PUC would request an expenditure limitation increase from the E-Board prior to levying an additional increase in 88-89. I urge your adoption of this budget.
Is there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, is this the budget on 67 or is this a budget on 5004?
This is the
5004.
There are budget notes that relate to it, though.
Yes, and that bill's coming along a little later.
Later today.
Later today, yes.
That's right. I just want to say I'm going to vote no on this budget because the requested information given to the committee was arbitrary and not a bit pertinent to the point. So I'm going to write a letter to PUC commissioner telling him that this information was not pertinent to the point and is an insult to members' intelligence. So So a letter will be sent to the commissioner expressing our concern and the desire that information should be given to us in a more accurate and timely manner. I have to ask for that information several times. And this will be the same reason I'll be voting no on the railroad assessment increase.
Okay. Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senator,
hold it. Excuse me.
Yeah. Senator Yee, I know, has asked for additional information. I think the committee believes that information that we received was okay. I can't recall any great controversy. I don't know whether Mike remembers any great controversy. I know Senator Yee asked for additional information. We asked them to get it to her, and that may be what she's concerned about.
This, Mr. Chairman, this particular information has to do with upgrading of the computer. They wanted computer in 1988, and we wanted them to show us a schedule how they are going to purchase the upgrading of computer by July 1988. And they show us a schedule saying that they wanted operators of the computers 6 months ahead, trainer, designer, hardware, software, they all came before the computer actually supposed to be purchased in 1988. And I don't understand how can they give us a time schedule like that. They probably figure we don't read them. That's why I say it was an insult to members' intelligence.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator, excuse me, Representative Kopetsky.
I'm not certain, perhaps, if Senator Yee and I are speaking of the same issue, but I did receive, I thought during the hearing, a implementation schedule, which I would be, of course, glad to share with her and other members of the committee, the timelines of how these people would be utilized and for what purpose in terms of bringing that computer online. There is some systems development that occur prior to actually needing the mainframe itself.
Mr. Chair,
we're talking about the same schedule.
It's hard to remember the details of that discussion, but I know we spent quite a long time with them. I thought that as a result of that, we had changed that process somewhat so that all those folks were not going to come online, and the ones that were to come online were justified as being needed. Seems to me, I think the first time they presented that to us, but as we discussed it, I thought we got some kind of revision of it. I'm hazy on it, but that's my impression.
Oh, Mr. Chairman. Was there any attempt to bring them through the data processing committee before they were to get their final approval?
I don't know. Mike, can you help us out on this?
No.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to your first question, there was a reduction in the full-time equivalent positions for the phase-in, but the executive department had already recognized that in reducing the amount, so it did not change the amount of dollars, but it did change the authorized positions. The committee discussed how prepared the agency was with their implementation plan and the stages of executive review that it had gone through, as well as the coordination of the implementation with the DOT computer people, and were basically satisfied that everything was prepared that they could go ahead with it and that future review would not be required.
Mm-hmm. No data processing review?
None was indicated, no.
Interesting. Usually every computer system in all of government at least goes through that ringer once. Is there any reason, Mr. Chairman, that at least we could put it on the record here so we don't hold up the measure that we would expect them to come before the data processing subcommittee before they finalize their plans?
Fine with me, no problem with that.
We don't hold up the budget. If it's on the record, will that hold? Or do we need to put it in as a budget note?
Well, Chairman, is PUC here? Anybody from the PUC?
I don't think they're in the executive department.
I'll lean on you guys to whatever you want to do.
Why don't we stand at ease for a couple moments and see what the executive department
says.
Yeah. Would you have any further comments, or would you like to wait for... Why don't we move on? We'll put this toward the end of the calendar. Maybe we can send the word to PUC that they need to come over to clarify some... Okay? Hearing no objections, we'll take House Bill 5038. Senator Wires, are you prepared? Would you go ahead on this budget?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5038 is the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The recommended budget for the Department of Fish and Wildlife totals $106,381,194. This is a significant increase over the current biennium expenditures when all funds are considered. However, the general fund increase is limited to 4.7%. Enhancements for fishery-related programs are financed almost entirely from federal funds. These include activities related to hatchery production as well as general fisheries enhancements. Examples of the latter include habitat enhancement activities such as revegetation, diversion screening, and upstream passage improvement on trout and 15-mile creeks for approximately $2.5 million. Another example is the $1.4 million sturgeon study, which is aimed at protecting, mitigating, and enhancing white sturgeon populations. In all, new projects to be financed with federal funds total approximately $8 million. One new activity to be financed with general fund money is a fish marketing program to be administered through the Department of Agriculture. Enhancements for wildlife programs are dependent upon passage of Senate Bill 337, which is the department's fee bill. This bill, as amended, produces approximately $1.55 million for enhancement in the green forage program, range improvements for mule deer, additional funds for damage response programs, a volunteer coordinator position, and a position for management of the Dean's Creek elk viewing area located near Reedsport. The governor's budget had anticipated the fee increases would be necessary just to maintain the current program level. After review of the budget, this was found not to be the case. Increases were recommended for support services to address the inadequacies stated in the executive department management study. This includes the continued effort to upgrade the department's computer system for improved processing and reporting of data. Funding for the state police game division will support the same level of enforcement available through the current biennium. In addition, the committee financed an enforcement study, which is expected to identify where enforcement problems may exist, the levels of required enforcement activity required, and recommended program changes where appropriate. Be glad to respond to any questions. I urge your aye vote.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Roberts first.
Would you explain to me why general fund money is being used for a fish marketing program?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
If Senator Wires wishes, I'd respond.
Representative Hanneman responds.
I'll yield to Representative Hanneman.
Thank you. The fishery marketing program is actually through the Department of Agriculture. It shows as a general fund increase here and should show, Sue, as a reduction as a payment over to the Department of Agriculture for 2.5 FTE to begin Oregon's first marketing program for seafood products.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker.
The other thing that I think should be noted is that the tax on the fishery is deposited, unlike other fund revenues, into the general fund and is identified in the general fund as general fund monies. And then those are transferred into what used to be the old Fish Commission as general fund dollars. So actually, the tax on the fishery, two cents a pound on salmon?
Oh, it's currently at five.
Okay, 5 cents a pound on salmon is all deposited in the general fund, and then some of this money comes out to operate both the fish, some money in the Fish and Wildlife, this program, and then the rest is actually added to the general fund as a balance.
Well, the wildlife doesn't get any general fund, so it
that's not so.
Well, I meant Wildlife Commission.
Actually, Mr. Chair, the there is about 300, about $260,000, I believe, in general fund that's going into the non-game wildlife side of the budget. So there is some limited general fund in the wildlife side.
Could I ask again? I'm trying to track this down. Could I go on? The summary says no general fund money into the wildlife division.
That's true. I'm sorry. Where does it say that, Senator Ron?
Front page, budget description, wildlife division. That's true. I'm sorry, I didn't go over far enough. The committee did apparently add $391,000. I'm wrong. I was looking at the wrong.
That's a new general fund into wildlife. Heretofore, there hasn't been money in wildlife. The discussion of the committee about the fish program was that Norway, I believe, is exporting. We are importing salmon now, and that there is a need to pick up on the Oregon Fryer, Oregon Wine kind of advertising approach that's so successful now to both get consumers to see that this is a fresh product that should be sought after, and also to help encourage fishermen to get into this mode in the way they handle their product to make sure that they're able to produce, get it to the market in the freshest form, so Oregon workers can produce the highest possible yield for their labors, which will redound to all our benefits. That was the way this program was sold in the subcommittee.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just...
Senator Roberts, go ahead.
We have this continuing problem of to what extent should an industry provide its own marketing activities, and we have varying degrees of subsidization of various kinds of commercial activities, and some of the particular areas do, in effect, tax themselves and run their own marketing programs. And if indeed this general fund money to provide marketing for fish is indeed the result of essentially a tax on the fish and then used for that purpose, I think that's a different situation. I'm happy to have the explanation. Thank you.
That's my understanding.
Correct.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Any further comments?
Well, in closing, this will be gone into in detail on the four speeches, but we cut way back on the recommendation of the substitute committee on how much we'd raise the deer and elk tag and for resident hunters. We maintained the higher increases the substitute committee recommended for out-of-state hunters. This is going to be $3 increase for elk, resident elk, and $1 for resident deer, and $1 on the hunting license for residents.
And that bill is to follow.
Okay. Yes. That's right.
We'll have a discussion on that. Okay, Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hale.
Aye.
Trow.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Kerens.
Aye.
Thorne. Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason excused. McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Katz excused. Presiding Chair.
Aye. And House Bill 5038 shall report to the House or do pass. The next budget is the Capital Planning Commission, Senate Bill 5536. Senator Hannah, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5536 is the budget for the Capital Planning Commission. The 87-89 recommended budget for the Capital Planning Commission totals $134,164 and maintains current staffing levels at 1.3 FTE. During the 87-89 biennium, the commission's activities will include the completion of the Capitol Mall master plan and the review of all agency capital construction and capital improvement projects. The commission will also work with the City of Salem as the city updates its comprehensive plan during the periodic review process that's mandated by LCDC. The governor's recommended budget was reduced for revised services and supplies and PRS contribution estimates. An additional decision package was approved to allow the commission to produce and print the revised Capitol Mall master plan. These changes resulted in a net increase of $1,323 to the governor's recommended budget. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I recommend Senate Bill 5536 to the full Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you for that motion. Is there any further discussion on this particular budget? Hearing none, Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Tro.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Kerens.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. And Senate Bill 5536 will report to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. The next budget is 5541, the Oregon Ethics Commission. Senator Hannon again, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5541 is the Government Ethics Commission budget of
This House Bill 2333, Representative McCracken, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2333 severs the Corrections Division from the Department of Human Resources and establishes a Department of Corrections. I haven't heard anybody oppose this idea. Everybody thinks it's a good idea, and the subcommittee recommends your approval.
Is there any further discussion?
Good.
Hearing not. Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Tro.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Great morning.
Aye.
Karen.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Speaker Capps.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. And House Bill 2333 report to the House with a due pass. Unusual pony, but well written. Other business, well, Senator Roberts. Excuse me.
I got to commend him. I think it's a dandy. Yeah. I don't care who wrote it. Still a good one.
Okay, other business, Human Resources Subcommittee. Senator Roberts, please.
Mr. Chairman, Human Resources Subcommittee recommends the Ways and Means Committee, acting under the authority of ORS 291.371, amend the Executive Department Compensation Plan for AFSCME represented positions in the Mental Health Division with a 3% increase effective July 1st, 1986. This will formalize a collective bargaining agreement just reached between the parties covered by the contract. The funding to implement the settlement is contained within the 1985-87 budgets for mental health agencies.
Excuse me.
That expressed
you got that one figured out, right?
Off the record, that was probably the best comment to date.
Yeah.
Is there any objections on an oral vote of confirming this compensation plan? Hearing none, so ordered. We need a rule suspension. Is there any objection to listening to Mr. Burke at this time?
Yeah.
Okay, hearing none. Mr. Burke, would you bring us your problem?
Mr. Chairman and members, preparing the appropriation bill for the Judicial Department, House Bill 5059, the subcommittee added $900,000 as a supplement to the appropriation, which had previously been supplemented for indigent defense. When we prepared the bill, we didn't make an effective date to have that appropriation run during the current biennium. Council advises us that the proper amendment to make that happen is to change the bill from July 1st, 1987 to make the entire thing effective on passage. And if you'll suffer us that technical amendment without going back to subcommittee, we can keep the bill moving in the Senate. the effect of which will require House concurrence and the Senate amendments, and I have to repass the bill.
We can't seem to get rid of engine defense problems.
Sorry about
we're still
that.
Trying.
They have trouble.
Is there any opposition to the technical adjustment by full of this bill?
No, we could eliminate the board. That would be a technical adjustment.
That's good. I was under the discussion. Speaker Katz, we were aware of that in this committee, and we hoped that the understanding of the bill where you sent it and substance committee will be taken care of. If not, we'll still act upon it at your wishes, I'm sure.
You should have got the right board. Wasn't that the Board of Education?
Hearing no opposition, that's what we'll do. By unanimous consent. Any other business? Any announcements?
Transportation regulation will meet.
Okay. DEQ, correct?
And also, no, other bills.
Other bills, okay.
Economic development and natural resources.
Okay. Okay, then we'll stand adjourned.
Joint Ways and Means Full Committee, Friday, May 15, 1987, Hearing Room F, 8:30 a.m., Senator Thorne presiding.
Let's convene the full committee. We need another Senate member. We think we have one. While we're convening, I need to announce there's one that Senator Wires and Senator Hannon have been excused. Unfortunately, in both cases, last weekend Senator Hannon and just last night Senator Wires' homes were broken into. Representative McCracken was nailed about a month ago, which proves the point that the worst committee on the Ways and Means to serve on is the Public Safety Committee.
They must think we have this money at home.
They must. Anyway, both Senator Hannon and Wires are excused. I think Hannon all day and Wires will be coming later.
Why is Hannon?
We have, as your agenda will note, at approximately 9:15, we'll have the revenue forecast presented to us. So we'll start our agenda and then interrupt it in about a half an hour. The agenda is long and we'll move as rapidly as possible. The first item on our agenda is House Bill 5002, which is the budget for the state fair, which Representative McCracken will carry in the place of Senator Wires, who is excused.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 5002 funds the State Fair and Exposition Center in the amount of $8,387,000. That includes a little over $7 million for operation and a debt service payment on a $6.5 million revenue bond sale accomplished earlier this winter. An additional construction limitation was also approved to utilize extra bond proceeds brought about by a lower bond insurance rate. The fair had proposed an additional entertainment charge for the special events that occur at the fair. The subcommittee supported increasing adult general admission by $1 instead. And we asked them to give a financial report and present an exit poll result to the February 88 Emergency Board in case there need to be further adjustments for the 88 fair. The fair was also requested to investigate possible alternatives to the unique problem of paying for straw manure removal. It's one of the effects of the closure of the mushroom plant, and it turns out it costs about $100,000 to remove the material. We spent a long time dealing with the 4-H premium payments. We found that 4-H youngsters were receiving payments in the amount of 40 cents, and the state's writing a check for 40 cents as a premium. Not at all fair. So we provided that they will increase those premium payments to be compatible with the FHA payments. Additionally, the fair will discontinue charging $3 per night for dorm rent
and offered the facility to 4-H participants without charge. And the fair and OSU extension will present a follow-up report to the February Emergency Board on how 4-H Fair Week worked. We made the normal reductions in the areas of PERS, telecommunications, and for rental equipment. And we provided an expenditure limitation for 7 additional race days to be held the weekend prior to, and we didn't approve additional race days to be held the weekend prior to and following the fair. So we worked hard on it. People seemed well satisfied. We worked cooperatively with the education subcommittee on some of the funding issues, and all felt that we had accomplished quite a bit. Recommend your approval.
Are there questions or is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I wanted to make a couple of comments about the state fair and the operation of the 4-H program, just for the purposes of the record, so that it's clear what is happening, what we hope to happen. I don't know if any of the other members of this committee have heard about it, but there were premium checks mailed out to 4-H kids in 40-cent increments. So did you give that
mentioned
story?
That. Well, Representative Crack, but you can kick it again.
Well, it deserves a good boot. And it really is not, it's immaterial who's responsible. And the important thing is that it gets straightened out, and I think that it has been. The budget notes and the way that the appropriation is outlined very clearly puts a bottom line amount for premiums. And I'm encouraged that everybody involved in it has made the commitment. Now those words are underlined. To see to it that kids don't receive a 40-cent check, which is an embarrassment to the system and to the state fair, and really does not encourage kids to get involved. So I'm delighted that there's a commitment to straighten it out.
Thank you very much. Questions? Discussion? If not, call the roll, Mr. Burke, on the motion that we report House Bill 5002 to the floor.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Papetsky.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Trobe.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Karens.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Cut 12.
Votes aye. Motion carried. Next item is the Department of Higher Education budget. Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the budget for the Department of Higher Education, House Bill 5007. This budget includes 3 universities, the Oregon Health Science University, Oregon Institute of Technology, and the 3 regional colleges, all within the education and general portion of the budget. The statewide programs include the Agricultural Experiment Station, the Cooperative Extension Service, the Forest Research Lab, the University Hospital, the Crippled Children's Division, the dental clinics, and student loans. In addition, the auxiliary enterprises are included within this budget as a non-limited expenditure. The education and general portion of the budget is recommended to increase by 9.6% over the 85-87 budget and includes increases for Centers for Excellence, $3 million general fund, corridor enrollment, $6 million general fund, and $13.5 million other funds, new building maintenance, $1.5 million, and specific directed regional university programs. The recommended budget assumes tuition increases of 3% for each year of the 1987-89 biennium. Statewide programs receive general fund support to maintain the existing level of services and some minor program enhancements. The Forest Research Lab is increased by 8.5% and will make use of existing and projected ending balances from the forest harvest tax to fund $400,000 for riparian zone research. The Agricultural Experiment Station received an increase of 4.1%, including $386,000 general fund to maintain the base and $250,000 general fund to fund a new marine science program and filbert blight research. The Cooperative Extension Service was increased by 9.5%, which included approximately $1.5 million for maintenance of the base. The Crippled Children's Division and the Dental Clinic each received additional general fund to maintain the base, nearly $1.5 million and $214,000 respectively. The only major departure from the existing format of budgeting for the department occurs for the University Hospital. In an effort to maximize the funds available to the state for the care of indigent patients, the subcommittee recommends a direct appropriation of the general fund support for the hospital. Be made directly to the emergency board pending presentation of a plan for expenditure by the Department of Higher Education and the Adult and Family Services Division to the emergency board. The subcommittee committed nearly 2 months of hearings to this budget. The majority of its time included discussions of existing policies of the department and proposed changes to the delivery system, including the change from quarters to semesters, the adoption of a total information system. These and other references to the committee's intent, reference to the recommended budget, are included within the budget language in the budget report for House Bill 5007. Now, this is a very long report. I don't think we have, I don't know if we beat the record on number of pages or number of notes. But it's very, very extensive, and I would be more than happy to answer specific questions on the various topics if you'd like. I'm not going to walk through every budget note, every discussion, but it was a very long and hard process. For those of you who have been through the Education Subcommittee and been through higher education, you know what we're talking about. So if any questions, you'd be more than happy to answer them.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if the carrier could describe a little bit the significant change that occurred in the way University Hospital is funded. I see you moved from other funds limited to other funds non-limited. Pretty significant change.
It's a very significant change. In essence, what we did was to pull out the general fund out of the University Hospital and give it to AFS, essentially ask them to try to match that with federal dollars, then hold the University Hospital harmless. In fact, if I remember right, it picks up a little bit over $1 million for the University Hospital. 13.7 million goes out and 15 something comes back. In addition, we pick up $17 million for other hospitals. Yeah, we pick up $17 million federal fund for other hospitals throughout the state. So we're leveraging that money. Now let me express a concern of the hospital and the Dr. Laster and the whole medical center up there. They are very happy to go along with this, but they want to be they wanted some insurance policy. At least they'd be left out in the cold if things don't work the way they're supposed to work. That's why it's all out in the emergency board. And I think giving credit where credit is due, this is probably one of the times when the legislative fiscal office wishes they were working on a contingency fee, because this time they've really gone out and found some dollars for us.
Are there other questions?
Just for the record, I'd like to thank the staff and the diligent work they've done on this subject. I think it's quite timely in this particular era, trying to get the biggest bang for the dollar, and the work that the staff has done on that needs to be commended.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes. On the budget notes, the task force on regional colleges, I'm trying to understand what the task force will be doing, and I'm wondering if in any way a message was sent to higher ed by establishing this task force that there should be something other than a study come out of it. I mean, are we studying this whole situation with the possibility of making changes, or was there some kind of feeling in the subcommittee that clearly there ought to be some change in the way we designate universities and colleges, and or we move toward a system of in which all of them are somewhat equal? I don't know exactly what this study means, and whether or not the committee had any preconceived notion of the outcome.
I don't think the committee as a whole had a preconceived notion of the outcome. One committee member proposed the note, and the note was phrased and written in such a way that it became acceptable to the committee. But on the positive side, some of us have felt that it was not a bad thing to start differentiating between our colleges and universities, and the sense of that we should perhaps do that. But if you're going to do that, you do want to give the colleges, which are essentially regional colleges, some special role. In that sense, I think it's a positive note, and in that light, that's why I went along with it. I think you can differentiate, and it'll be to your benefit in the long run. Now, I realize there is a desire on the part of one of those colleges to change its status, but I think they're willing to go with this note.
I might add that the genesis of the note, and unfortunately Senator Hannon is not here, who was a member of that subcommittee, was the product of a piece of legislation, as Representative Mason pointed out, which would have designated a university name, and it seemed inappropriate for the legislature at this point to arbitrarily make that designation, but rather ask the board to look at that question again, and that's the reason for the budget.
I don't object to the study, but I do think that it's important that no message is sent out that there's any imperative need for a change, that they ought to look at it objectively, and if the circumstances do indicate that there should be some kind of change, yes, but not that we're sending any message that we're having the study because we want necessarily to change the status or designation of these institutions.
Mr. Chairman, I think that was the reason for the study is right. There are certain criteria for universities and certain criteria for colleges, but we've never stated them, so yeah. The task force will study it.
But our understanding is it's an objective study with nothing expected other than a very good study, and so that we know more about the system as we start the next biennium.
The objective is purpose or goal neutral.
Yeah, okay.
Is that fair, Representative Mason?
Yes.
Okay. Other questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Kopaski.
Thank you. I kept getting this stuff on climatology. Did we fund the climatologist?
No, we didn't.
Unfortunately, we did not. Don't you put it there?
There were numerous programs that we were not able to fund. The list was long and extensive, and everybody had programs that were not funded.
Second question.
Yes.
Any surprises in this budget, Representative Mason? We're going to find out about after session.
The state system usually doesn't work that way. They.
No, any surprises you intended.
No. Right. No, there are no surprises in here.
I remember that.
Of course, Portland State becomes Mason U, but anyway.
Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, I was disappointed to discover, and I just checked with the chairman of the subcommittee this morning, that an item that I had thought had been was securely in the budget apparently got passed out, got left out someplace along the line. I just want to put it on the record that I still hope that the money can be found for that. And this is a program which is fairly unique in Oregon and I think significant to one of our industries, and that's the whole experimental program that we've had for I think at least 4 years now in the extension operations, training guard dogs for sheep and cattle and determining breeds that are most appropriate for use in Oregon and with different kinds of range conditions. And that got dropped out, and I didn't realize that it happened, and I'm sorry for that.
Well. Representative
for the record, I think one of the things that the extension and the agricultural orientated people were concerned about is the fact that we don't have a dean of agriculture at the University of Oregon and we don't have a permanent head of extension.
through this budget, they have been asked to come back when those people are in their position to the emergency board with the direction of the legislature and the direction as far as they're interested in doing such. And we left a window open for those concerns. Dogs would not be eliminated from that concern. Promotion of Oregon products and research is also in that list. We felt to shove something down or designate something at this point before we had the people and the direction of their philosophy and the direction of the policy we'd like to establish would have been premature, so we left the window open. It has not been literally policy set that we don't want to do it anymore. The window is still there.
Specifically on page 6 of the budget report, you will find language that directs the agency, once the new administration is in place, to return to the emergency board, having reviewed the thrust of that program. And it would not be inappropriate at that time for them to prioritize that, or for the emergency board to prioritize the question you've raised. The problem we had, there was a list of items here that went on as long as your arm, and we felt that with a tentative or an acting director, in both cases, it would be appropriate to finalize that program when those people were permanently.
I'll make a note and see if I can keep after it.
I think the opportunity is there.
Thank you.
I think you and I would have a lot of agreement on a lot of things that we will keep after this. Senator Trump.
Is there some uncertainty in the budget about the Pine Mountain Observatory? Tell us about that. I keep hearing about that.
We sort of finessed that.
This is we're going to engage in a little shadow boxing with Dr. Olam, I think. It seems that every time we come up to the budget, the University of Oregon doesn't know whether or not it wants Pine Mountain. And a lot of people get a lot of letters on Pine Mountain. So we had one member who volunteered to shift Pine Mountain to Southern Oregon, at which time suddenly the University of Oregon became extremely supportive of Pine Mountain, and money was found in the budget for Pine Mountain. So now we've kind of sent a message to the University of Oregon, either you want Pine Mountain or you don't. Because if you don't want it, there are people that do. So
several institutions.
Several institutions, yes. So we don't know where Dr. Olam is on this. We suspect that he will find a regular line item in the budget. Now, he probably won't be able to lobby anymore without Pine Mountain, but...
Okay. further questions or discussion?
It's the best thing you did in the budget.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tom Nelson, is any tuition increase anticipated in this budget?
Yes, 3%, 3%.
3%, 3%. So it's 4.5% in 2 years.
Yes. Although, if I might, we don't set tuition. The board sets tuition. We anticipate it, but we don't set it.
Is that the same with the student fees?
Student fees are set on each individual campus through a process in which the students are involved.
How many people we have answered the question?
Yeah, we've answered the question. Let's not get into student fees.
Further discussion? Senator Yee, your question?
So you mean student fees is not anticipated for an increase in this budget?
Can't touch it.
Well, student fees are not set in the budget. They're set on each campus. We don't control student fees.
So your answer to my question is no, it's not.
The answer is no, Senator Yee. However, there's nothing that prohibits the institution from altering those fees without our control.
Mm-hmm.
The members need to have their attention referred to page 5. The top paragraph refers to the issue of Pine Mountain. There's a directive there that would answer the question, and there's to be a review, and it opens the question for placing that observatory and its functions wherever it seems to be most appropriate, and it could be a community college in Central Oregon if that seems most appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, this is one thing that we don't want.
Further discussion. Will you call the roll?
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Pokeski.
Aye.
Speaker Katz.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Trove.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Karen.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Mr. Chairman, before you drop the gavel, just for the sake of propriety, I think Representative Van Vliet and I both would like to declare conflicts and maybe throw in Senator Tro as being employees of the state system.
Right. Those potential conflicts are so noted, and the chair votes aye. The motion carries. Okay, next is the budget for the State Scholarship Commission, House Bill 5010.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chairman. This particular scholarship commission includes a lot of various kinds of scholarship programs and grant programs, and I won't read them all off because most of you are familiar with them. However, one of the important items was the PSIC area, which is the purchase of educational services from independent colleges, which was continued at this budget at 4.5%. In addition, the commission staff will provide substantial effort in claims and collections for delinquent and defaulted loans for all of these. This is an 8.7% increase in this budget, mainly because of the fact that there has been a pullback on federal funds, and we felt that there was a need to bolster the NEED grant area by $1 million in this particular program to assist students to getting to college as some of the federal dollars began to dry up in this particular area. So it does represent the overall budget, even with the 8.7, represents a reduction of $80,812 from the governor's printed budget and includes a partial funding shift from general fund to other funds in the administrative portion of the budget. There is an elimination of the future payment of the 2% subsidy to the medical dental loan program and funding of an additional support for NEED grants, which was at $1 million. The subcommittee also increased the other funds expenditure limitation and related position authority for both the 85-87 biennium and the 87-89 biennium to accommodate the recently created federal Robert C. Byrd Honors Scholarship Program and increased audit enforcement requirements related to the Guaranteed Student Loan Program. The committee did take a motion to put the state's fingerprints on the new program from the federal government. We were thinking of the Thornbird Honors Program, but we decided against that particular recommendation at this time, Mr. Chairman, so we recommend approval of the bill.
Questions? Discussion? Not? We've sure. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Truel.
The Senate Education Committee spent a great deal of time on a lot of these proposals related to especially